The relationship between dads and their children is incredibly significant. And we know this. It's self-evident to us. It has a uniqueness to it that though, and we talked about this last month, though mothers matter significantly in our lives, dads have a unique role that's distinctly different than the role of the mom. And we know this because whether the dad was a good dad or not such a great dad, or whether the dad was absent, completely gone, whether through a fault of his own, the dad left, or some people have lost their fathers very early on in their life, so it wasn't the fault of the father, but the dad wasn't there. Many of us still will point back to our dads, whether they were good or bad or absent, and say, I struggle with this. This is why this is going on. I wrestle with this because this is my relationship with my dad. Years later, we still, far into adulthood, still point back to our relationship with our fathers. Because God has uniquely wired dads. Now, mind you, this does not matter if you're not a biological or even adoptive father. If you are a man, you don't just, I don't know if you guys know this, but ladies just kick into mother gear when they become moms. It's just something different that happens. When kids show up, they're the same guy. They're just the same guy. Nothing changes. And the reason is because we're wired a certain way, and so everything that applies to dads applies to men in general as far as behaviorally. Even if they don't have children, the difference is the father has a responsibility to a specific person or son, or multiple people, and that is the difference. But men have a power that is God-given that people are looking for men to show them affection, looking for men to be strong for them, looking for men. That's why we sing songs about father figures and things like that. People look to men differently than they look to women. It's just the way God has wired them. And we talked about this last month. We live in a day where we're trying to lose the gender identity as far as it's meant to be known as, and we're losing biblical femininity, but we're also losing biblical masculinity. And I don't know if you know this, but masculinity has been under attack more so than femininity has, and perhaps longer. Our society does not in general like men. And we know this if we pay attention. We can look to our television shows and our movies and our songs. Usually, if there's an idiot on the TV show, it's not the mom. The mom or the women are always competent, put together, selfless, smart, all of that stuff. It's the dad who's the dumb one, who's self-centered, incompetent, doesn't know what he's doing. That's the general trend. Now, I know that kids will do this to us. If we say, well, if you take one lump of clay and take another lump of clay and you bring it together, you have two lumps of clay, and they will say, nah, if you smash it together, it's one. They will find a reason for that not to be the case. And you might be able to find a time when a woman is portrayed negatively. But I bet if you were to do your research and go through all the TV shows, the vast majority of the time, the idiot is the man. But I don't even think we need to watch TV to figure that out. If you guys will pay attention to the ladies in your life, now I'm talking about ladies outside of this church. Every lady here is perfect and doesn't do any of these things. But if you were to look at other ladies, just watch them this week and observe them, listen to them. See, one of the reasons why ladies at times have a leg up on us is because they're always listening. And they're always retaining information. We're just kind of going through life, okay? We're not as worried about stuff. But if you pay attention, you will notice that often you will hear things that women say that demonstrate that they think that you guys are incompetent. They think you guys are selfish. All you care about is yourself. You're lazy. And all you really want is sex. That's what you want. That's it. That's who you are. That's how women today view men mostly. And some of that's our fault, guys. Some of that is because we have at times behaved self-centeredly. Some of that is because we have not respected or cared about the ladies in our lives or looked down on them. Some of that is because we have been too overly focused on sex and pleasure and recreation and relaxation and all of those things. And so women are smart and they notice that and they respond to that. Some of it's because of that. But some of it is because there's some confusion in that men are not supposed to be like women. Men are designed by God to behave differently than women are. And because of that, ladies, I don't know if you know this, you guys have blind spots, just like we do. You just have a different set of them. You guys have weaknesses, just like we do. You just have a different set of weaknesses. Because what happens when God designs us, he sets us up with strengths, and by default, we end up having weaknesses because of those strengths. So, and I also know that you ladies have flaws. And I'm saying this because I know that us guys have flaws. That's apparent. Everybody knows that guys are just a mess. That's why they're portraying them that way. Hey, watch it. But as far as I can see in Scripture, the Bible says that all have sinned. Not just men. It's not just men that are self-centered. It's not just men that at times are incompetent and let the flesh take over versus good spirit-led logic and biblical reasoning. It's all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so how do we then distinguish between when men are behaving in the flesh and behaving sinfully versus when they are acting the way that God had designed them to act? Because it's not going to look the same, ladies, as it looks when you act. Because God designed us differently. He set us up in a snare, and this is that 1 Corinthians 12 model. God sets it up to where one part of the body is good at one thing, and another part of the body is good at another thing. And when we work together, that's when we have the flourishing. That's when we have the health and the wholeness that God has wanted us to live into, that life abundant scenario, is when we are okay with, I'm not good at what he or she is good at. And we allow those things to come into being. But the world today wants to kill masculinity. And I'm not talking about traditional American manhood. Okay? Not every man needs to be John Wayne. Okay? Not every man needs to be Chuck Norris or today Captain America or Spider-Man or whatever. Not every man needs to be that. Not every man needs to be completely unfeeling. Right? But what we do need to make sure we're rescuing in our culture today, that we're suffering and will continue more so suffer the repercussions of it if we allow our culture to remove biblical masculinity from our society. And that's what we need to rescue. But guys, we have caved under the pressure. When the pressure said, you butt out and you go over in that corner, mind your business, play with your toys, we've allowed that to happen. Men have become absent. Men have become catering, pandering to the wishes of others. Men have become weak. And they've caved to the pressure. And God wants us, there's an interesting verse, and it's referenced in your outline in 1 Corinthians 6:13, which says this, stand firm in the faith, be strong, act like men. Be firm in the faith, stand strong, act like men. Guys, we are called, designed, capable of, our mission is to be strong in the faith, stand strong, and act like men. And that's the call that God has for us in this life. And so we need to begin to start being men and acting like men, but the kind of man that God has designed us to be. And ladies, we need your support to not try to kill that, but to try to respect that and support that. And then if we can do that collectively, we can regain the benefits that biblical masculinity was meant to bring by God's design into the world. So what is it that is biblical masculinity? Now, I want to remind you, much like with Mother's Day, the Bible will give us instructions specifically to dads at times. And remember, if dads are to do it, men are designed that way too. It's just to become a father when they have a child. So when the instructions are there, that's an indication that this is God's design. This is how God wants us to be in the ideal sense when he gives us the instructions. But also when he refers to dads and say, this is how dads are, he's also painting the picture of how men are supposed to be. And then when he acts as father, have you ever noticed that? The Bible very frequently refers to God as our father. When God acts like father, those qualities he's exhibiting as this is what father looks like, which means this is how a man should look like character-wise and in their behavior. So the first thing, guys are good at a few things, and the first thing that guys are good at is they're good at demonstrating love. Now I'm starting with that one because that one often is not the traditional American masculinity, and it's not the one we tend to think of, and it's not the one that I think a lot of us think guys are actually capable of, is demonstrating love. Some of it is a weakness on our part, men's part, and some of it is a misunderstanding on the part of ladies. The scriptures say, Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, a father is expected to be compassionate. Or we read about the prodigal son in Luke 15, and when the father sees the son, it says that he felt compassion, just like God the Father, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The father is demonstrated as showing affection. Malachi 4:6, in prophesying about God's, revealing God's desire for dads with their children, he says this, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. God's expectation is this intimate emotional bond between a dad and his children. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. Everything in the Bible demonstrates that a dad is supposed to feel compassion and love and affection for his children. But that's not often what we see from us guys, because it's not manly to cry. Jesus, thank you. Jesus wept, exactly. Or men aren't supposed to be soft in any way. When, as far as I can tell, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians is not just instructions to women. When it says to be gentle and kind. Jesus was meek and mild, doesn't it say that? So men do not always have to be hard. And so us guys have to learn that and learn that we can be compassionate. We can feel. We can cry and we can hug somebody. You know the hug's all done, Pat? You guys familiar with that? That's when you're hugging someone and they start patting you on the back. That means let go now. I'm done with this hug. I give that right before it starts. Someone's coming in, I'm like, pat, pat, pat. because we're just not really oriented that way, and we have to learn to demonstrate that. And I think, this is my theory, I think that this is part of the reason why people desperately crave the affection of a man more so than the affection of a woman, is because men are more selective when they show it. They don't show it as often as women do. And we don't want that, or should we have that change? Women have a role that they are more pervasive with the demonstration of those affections. And we need, if we didn't have that, we would be at a loss for different things. But because dads are more selective with it, I'm telling you what, how many of you guys, I bet, had rough father figures, and throughout your life you were routinely looking for father figures to look up to, for men who would respect you and care about you. Or ladies who end up throwing themselves at guys, desperately trying to find a man to love them, because we are wired to want, and I think part of it has to do with God being father. We want some man to approve of us and love us. And I want you to think about this, guys. Because again, our fathers affected us whether they were good dads or bad dads. Whether they were present or absent, they affected us. And I want you to think about this. That's the capability, no matter how much a mess you are, men, that's the capability you have. You have a power God given to you that you can heavily influence the lives of other people and build them up if you learned how to show compassion and affection and respect and to care for the people in your lives. We have a void that we have the opportunity to step in that I believe in part could lead to all kinds of evangelistic opportunities if we learn how to be men for other people. But ladies, just like that 1 Corinthians 12 thing, I know that sometimes we see that somebody else is, have you ever had someone in your life that's just so capable of certain things that you're not capable of, and you just wanted to do something to them? And I don't mean positive things. I'm tired of that person. Who do they think they are that they're always able to do this better? And you had some thoughts that you came down to the altar some Sunday to repent of because of how you felt about that. And I don't know, it's the sin nature, obviously, why that happens. But Paul caught that when he said in 1 Corinthians 12, a hand cannot say that because I'm not a foot, I'm not a part of the body. It's okay, ladies, for men to be better at something than you are, because you ladies are better at a lot of things than us guys are. It's the way that it is. And I encourage you that when you see a man stepping into that role and you're getting irritated because I don't know why I said it and they didn't do it, but dad comes in and says, I think some of it's the deep voice, you know, like when a woman comes in with a higher pitched voice, it's not as scary as when dad comes in with that deep voice. That's why there used to be that line, wait till your dad gets home. Because there's just some kind of presence that men carry that has that impact. Don't try to squash that. If you see that, encourage that, because God wants us to be influencers in the people in our lives, and we are wired to do that. And men, I want you to know, as much as there are ladies that are against you in this world, they're all outside this building, none of them are in here, and they're critical of you, I want you to know that there are a lot of women that are actually rooting for you. They might not say it sometimes, but they're just hoping and wishing that you would step up and be a man, wishing that you would step in and feel the void, and would love it and would back you if you stepped up and decided to stand firm in your faith, to be strong, and to act like a man. There are a lot of women who would love to see that happen in your life. But us guys, we have to learn a delicate balance act of we are naturally not given towards affection, and we have to learn to be emotional to some degree. But we are not supposed to become a woman. Okay? We are not to be the same kind of emotion that women are, because we're wired more for action than we are to demonstrate our love through action than we are through emotions and feelings. And that's something that ladies have to learn to respect. In fact, did you know they're doing studies now and they're discovering that actually there are positive physical, biological effects that happen to a child when dad roughhouses with that child. There's positive when dad, because what do dads want to do when they play with their kids? Give them a hug and cry? No, dads want to fight them. They want to wrestle them to the ground. And it's usually the moms that are like, take it easy on. No, I don't take it all easy on him. I'm going to drill this kid. He's going to need to know he won. And we like to be tough and rough. And that has positive effects, and God intended for men to be that way with their children and with others. When guys are with each other, they hit each other, and they jockey for position because God wired them that way. And let's not get rid of that. Let's love with affection, but let's also make sure that we love with the skill that God has given us, the strength that God has given us, and that's to love with action. We see this in the examples of husbands to wives or dads to children, especially when the way God's portrayed in Deuteronomy 1, it says, the Lord your God who goes before you, he himself will fight for you as a man carries his son. So the connection is still with God acting as father, and they will fight for you and carry his son, just like I had DJ in my arms. He used to be able to leap up into my arms and I'm fine. He can't leap into my arms now or I'm going to be like, I'm going to have another hernia surgery if that happens. But guys fight. That's what they do. Guys protect. That's what they aim to do. Or in Ephesians 5, in that example of the way a husband is to be with his wife, and it's linked to the way Jesus is with the church, we see that Jesus, as the husband, he gave himself up for her. Men have this sacrificial nature. And unfortunately, and you watch younger men today, much of what used to be there is losing and fading away. where men would commonly drop off the whole group at a spot so that they can drive to the find the faraway spot and walk their way all alone in the rain. Men do that instinctively unless it's being crushed out of them. Men just tend to take the last thing. If there's only so much food, it's common for men to just let everybody else get enough food. And, you know, there's only five and there's six of us. Well, a lot of times men will say, that's fine. You know, everybody else can have some. That's the way men are wired, to be sacrificial. Men also raise expectations. It says in the Ephesians passage, he does his work so that he might present the church to himself in splendor. Jesus wants the church to look and be amazing. And men tend to do that. They tend to raise expectations and say, this is the way it should be. And sometimes sin gets in and twists the way that that is. But the ideal sense is men have a tendency to raise the bar. And also it says that no one ever hated his body, but nourishes and cherishes it. And that's the way that the husband is supposed to be to the wife, to treasure the wife. And in fact, 1 Peter 3:7 gives that instruction. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Men are just action-oriented. That's the way they are. Like, if it's not common for men to say, let's just get together and talk. Usually it's, let's get together and eat a bunch of food. Let's get together and do some work project. Ladies can get together. They don't even need to be food there. Let's just get together to talk. Guys need to have some kind of action to be doing while they're talking. Let's watch the game or something. Because we're action-oriented. And the problem is sometimes, guys, when we're so action-oriented, we can't notice that we're damaging people at times with being too brutal in our strength and in our actions, or too inconsiderate or too unkind. And that's where the reservation needs to come into being. But we can't just... Because it would be easier in life if God just said, do all this, instead of saying, be part this, but pull that back some. That's when it gets difficult. God wants us to know how to be affectionate, but he wants us to still be like men. And some of us in this room, guys, might even be losing this fighting spirit in us, this willingness and desire to protect those around us, this sacrificial attitude, raising the bar and treasuring. And sometimes ladies might mistakenly take this action-oriented mindset for not caring about the family, or for maybe thinking that the guy thinks the woman is less than, because who does he think he is? He thinks he needs to protect me, doesn't think I'm strong enough to defend myself, he thinks he needs to step in. And we think that it's an affront against our value that it would come in and try to defend and fight. And sometimes the flesh gets in, and sometimes the guy is doing it for that reason. But often when a guy is doing it, he's doing it because he cares about the person that's under threat. And he wants to do everything in his power to protect that person. Or sometimes we get offended when we hear the idea of someone saying, my wife, she's my wife. As if, what does he think, I'm cattle or something, that he owns me, that he possesses me, that he's saying she's my wife? I don't know if you know this, but they're starting to study within relationships that if the husband starts referring to his wife as the wife instead of my wife, that's not a good thing. Because that means that now I don't really care about her. That's the wife, or even the family, versus my family, my wife. You see, it's not a I own you, unless the flesh is coming in. It's not a I own you. It's a this is my treasure. This is what I value more than anything in my life. This is my wife. And ladies, I hope that you will see that for the demonstration of love that it is. That when your husband struggles to cry or hug or express well verbally his love for you, notice all the ways that he's demonstrating his love for you by all the actions that he's doing. Because in many ways, all of those things, the fixing things and the solving problems that sometimes drive you crazy, the problem-solving orientation that guys have, they're doing it because they love you. See it as that way. The last two items are also related to that action-oriented. There's two strengths as the way a man acts, with that love. One is that a man is good at providing. Now, don't take this to think that women aren't capable of providing. Women are more than capable of providing. We saw that in the Proverbs 31 woman a month ago, that women have the capacity to bring provisions into a household. But a guy is uniquely wired to be heavily focused on the provisions for the household. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. Isaiah 64:8, referring to God, the work of our Father's hands. God is a worker. Matthew 6:26, your heavenly Father feeds them. God the Father aims to bring provision into the lives of his children. Matthew 7 says, your fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. Fathers want to provide for the people in their lives. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms. God aims to provide shelter to his children. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Men are wired to be provider. Now, I know that this is countercultural, okay? And guys, one, we have to know that sometimes our focus on provide, because what it ends up shifting us towards sometimes, especially if there's no restraint to it, is never being in the house. Because we have to go out there and we have to earn a living for the family and we're focused on the job and the work. You ladies know this that are married. What is a husband oftentimes really focused on when he's in his working days? Work, job. I got work. I got to work. I got to take care of the job and I got to earn a living. And guys are often leaving the house for the work. And sometimes they do it so much that they forget they need to be present in the household. Or because we want to tackle things. This is why I think that men at times will leave the house, because sometimes we end up with desk jobs or jobs that don't require a lot of physical manual labor. And so men will sometimes make up with that or make up for that by doing recreation, like going hunting or going fishing or doing karate or martial arts or fighting or wrestling or that's why we'll watch sports. You know, sometimes we're going to live it vicariously through watching sports or watching action movies. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like tearjerker movies. I will do it because I love my wife, not the wife, my wife. But I don't enjoy it. That's not what I'm going to pick to do on my own. You know what I want to watch? I want to watch someone beat someone up. I want to watch someone rescuing the world and fighting off the bad guys. That's what I want to watch because, guys, we are oriented towards action and towards provision and towards fighting the world, and sometimes we fail to be present for our family, and we need to learn to be present for our family. But sometimes ladies end up mistakenly attacking their men because they fail to recognize that the man is wired to go and do that, and he is not going to be the same as the wife that's going to be more focused on the home. And it's not that a wife can't go outside the home and work and do those things or any of that. But, I mean, tell me the truth, ladies. When you're sleeping and you have young children in the house, are you really counting on you're going to sleep very deeply because you know dad's going to hop up in the middle of the night if something happens? And it's not because the dad doesn't care about the children. It's because the dad's mind is not in the house. The dad's mind is outside of the house. The woman's mind is always in the house. It's always focused on the family. That's why you can go out in gatherings sometimes and where's the child? And the dad's always, I don't know. What are you asking me for? You expect the dad to know? And moms know, or they're searching and hunting for that because they know when the child's missing. Don't mistake that. That's not incompetence. That's just God has oriented women to have one focus and has oriented men to have another focus. It doesn't mean we can't adapt and make adjustments for function purposes, but that's the way a man's wired. So when your guy's trying to get out of the house, don't see it as he hates his family and he wants to get away from them. Now, sin does get in there and flesh does get in there, and sometimes a guy is just running from his family, and that might need to be confronted. But don't always see it as a lack of love. Learn that, and also understand, as much as a woman might be concerned, stressed about the provisions for the household, and might care for that. She might be the one budgeting the money. But a woman doesn't feel it the same way a man does. Just like a woman is always focused on the family and the kids and the relationships, a man is always concerned about whether or not he's providing for his family. And sometimes, ladies, I don't know if you know this, when you guys get stressed about stuff, you want to talk about it. And I think sometimes you mistakenly think that someone's not stressed if they're not talking about it. But us guys in general, we don't respond to our stresses the same way as you do. We don't talk about it. We go beat something up. We go hunt a deer, or we go kill something, or we go watch a football game, or we do something with our actions. We're not talking about it. And sometimes you might sense that something's wrong and ask us to talk about it, and what will we usually respond with? It's okay. I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. Because we're not wired to talk about it. But don't mistake that for meaning that we're not stressed about it, that we're not concerned. In fact, men intensely find their value in whether or not they're capable of providing for their household. The men who are struggling with their household having enough provisions often are incredibly insecure, because it matters so much to a guy to know that he's providing for his family. And that's something that God has wired him to be, and we need to respect that, and we need to see it for what it is. It is love, and we need to allow a guy to go out and punch something. I know you ladies are laughing at that, but we need to punch something. And by the way, Aaron and Donovan are volunteering that after service, if you need to get out your aggression, because I mean, look, if you look at kids, and they've done this when they tried to break traditional gender lines, and you give wrestling and action figures to the girls, you know what they do with it? They dress them up and play family, generally. And then they give dolls and Barbie dolls and stuff to guys. You know what they do with it? They chop off their heads and they beat them up and they melt them into ashes and stuff. Because that's the way guys are. We're action-oriented, and we need that back in our society. Sorely do we need men to start to stand firm in their faith, to be strong, and act like men. Now, it's the point of the service in which I'm keenly aware of where the emergency exit in the room is. I should have had that bar removed before the service began. Because, yeah, will you get that car running for me, Molly? Because this part is incredibly countercultural to where we are today. One of the strengths that men are wired to do well is to lead. No, that doesn't mean that women aren't capable of leading, and that doesn't mean that they should be completely alienated from influence in society, in the household, and those kind of things. But, and Danielle, if we could have that other picture, I saw, let's see if we can get that large enough, I think this was on Instagram, this surfaced up. I happen to be on there when I'm barely on there. It's a little bit lower, smaller, because we got the, up above it is the heading, Happy Wife, Happy Life. You've heard that before, okay? And he's wearing a sign that says, or carrying a sign that says, she wanted a puppy, I didn't, so we compromised and got a puppy. Now, as humorous as that is an example of where we are in our society today, that the assumption is that the woman is in charge. That's the assumption. Or you've heard the line that the man might be the head, but the wife is the neck and she turns the head. Because, watch it over there. Because we don't like the idea of men being in charge of anything, really. And I have, and listen, I'm going to read a verse to you that is not the only place this statement is found. And I'm going to tell you that every single time I've read this verse or a verse like it in a sermon, in a Bible study, every single time I see the expressions on the faces of every woman in that room, and I realize I need to look for the exit for the door as fast as I can. And I'm talking women who are sold out in their faith in Jesus Christ, who are dedicated to that they're supposed to live according to the Word of God. And I'm quoting Scripture. This is not just man's opinion. I'm quoting Scripture. But women hate this line every time it's heard. And I get it. Some of it is because guys have acted like idiots and taken advantage of various things and have behaved incredibly badly. And so I get that that's where a lot of it's coming from. But we must still be mindful of that it's Scripture that's being stated. Scripture that we believe is inspired by God. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of a wife is her husband. Now today's the day that I resign as your pastor. The head of the wife is the husband. Now, I understand that there are abuses of authority, leadership, power. And there are people that are self-centered. And I mean, we see politicians doing this. You know what's funny? That we think that if women ruled the world, everything would be fine. But every time you see a woman get power, they do the same things that guys do. Okay, I don't know why. Again, all have sinned and fallen short. Not all the men are the sinners and all the women are holy, righteous, and pure. No, all have sinned. And it's just something that happens, but it doesn't mean that God didn't actually design men to lead and to have authority in their household. But there's a problem in that us guys, like we've been joking about, we tend to be very aggressive and assertive. And I don't know if you know this, ladies don't like to admit this, but physically most of us are very intimidating. Because in general, guys are stronger than women. Now, I know that there's some of you ladies that can wipe the floor with some of us guys. But in general, that's why with the whole trans things, there are guys who are claiming they're women and joining in the female sports, and they're kicking everybody's tail. Because men in general are stronger, and guys sometimes aren't careful with that. And what's interesting is while we're not called to not be strong, we saw that in 1 Corinthians 16, we also see that a number of other references that you have in your outline about men or dads disciplining their children and that they're supposed to instruct their children and they're supposed to correct their children. Guys are supposed to have that strength and bring that into the equation. But in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 3, in both of those statements when he's talking about fathers instructing or disciplining their children, he says, do not provoke them to anger. Showing us that, guys, with our aggression, there needs to be some measure of restraint to it. That it doesn't have to be that we're brutes and lacking kindness and gentleness. And it doesn't always have to be loud. Okay? But we have to balance those qualities out of disciplining and not provoking. And we have to learn to, one, don't be a pushover, guys. Don't be a pushover. You don't have to, because you know what guys are, ladies, you know what guys are thinking sometimes? I got to stay good with my wife because if anything's going to happen tonight, then I need her to like me, so I'm going to do everything that she tells me to do. That's what's happening sometimes with the guys. I want to make sure that I still have her. I still want to keep her around, so I better do everything that she, and we're pandering. We're catering to all the women around us and all the calls. It's not that we shouldn't honor them and hear them and listen to them and receive the wisdom that they have and all of those things and invite them in on the decision-making and stuff. But guys, don't keep being a pushover, though. You don't have to just cower in fear. I mean, it's weird how we reverse this. Because it used to be that American men were dominating women and alienating them out of everything and treating them like they were incompetent. Now we're trying to reverse it, where women are now doing that to men, and men are cowering in a corner. That's why sometimes men are trying to get out of the house, is because they just want you to have it. Because they're afraid. And guys, we need to be firm in the faith, stand strong, and act like men, and stop being a pushover. But that doesn't mean that we need to come into the house like a tornado or a human wrecking ball and just tear everything up that's in our path. We need to learn to have restraint. Strength isn't yelling. Strength isn't beating something up either. Strength isn't overpowering something. Strength is when you have the capacity to use what you have been given by God to influence for the common good the people around you. That is strength. And you could do it. I'm going to confess my sins here this morning. I was watching a wrestling documentary. I know that's ungodly, and I'll repent later. But they were talking about Jake the Snake Roberts. Anybody know Jake the Snake Roberts? They were talking about Jake the Snake Roberts. And they were talking about, and he's, if you don't know him, he's a wrestler. He was always carrying a huge python or a boa constrictor to the ring, like wrapped around his neck. And I actually found that he was incredibly terrified of snakes. From the moment he was invited to do that gimmick, throughout his entire wrestling career, was incredibly terrified of snakes. But he said that when he saw the check that they were offering him, he's like, I have to put the snake around my neck. But they were talking about him, and the wrestlers will do promotions before their matches. They'll talk about how I'm going to kick that guy, and I'm going to do that, and they do these promotional interviews. And they were saying how the difference between him and all the other wrestlers always felt like they had to yell, and they had to be passionate, they had to yell about stuff. And they said he always stayed calm. But he stayed calm in a way that everybody was scared of him when he talked. Everybody was intimidated by him because he knew that you can be strong without having to yell, without having to demonstrate physical power. And guys, that's something we have to learn as leaders, is we have to learn that we can be strong without being overbearing, without being self-centered, without being loud and violent. We can have, God has given us this strength to do that. We noted that with, again, every one of us knows the effect that our fathers have had on us, good or bad, because men have been given that ability. But here's what we're going to have to be careful of, men. We live in an environment that the slightest sign, men, that you're trying to take charge, especially if it relates to another woman, you will receive opposition. And you might be perceived as having horrible motives in doing that. And because of that, we need to actually proceed with caution when we try to gain back biblical masculinity. Because I'm telling you, you can't go home today and say, honey, I want you to know I'm in charge here. It might be true that you're the head of the household, but that's going to go over like a lead balloon. You can't, when you're discussing a decision and she's not agreeing with you, you can't be like, sorry, I'm going to have to put my foot down here and it's going my way. That's probably not going to work. But we have to make sure that we're not just letting everything go the way it goes because we're wanting to cater to the wish of another person. And so we have to find this balance of trying to reintroduce the idea that, listen, men have been designed to do certain things. And we need to stop letting women think we're incompetent. And so when that is coming at you, you need to challenge that. But you need to challenge it with the utmost of respect and honor towards the person you're challenging. And you need to be kind and gentle, confident, and peaceful in the way that you do it, and wise. When women are acting like men, all they care about is sex, you need to tell them and show them that that's not actually true. Not every man is an ape. Not every man is an immoral fiend. And even if a guy desires, did you know it's not unholy for a guy to desire sex? Did you know that? We act like that today. Even though we plaster sex and no sex boundaries all over the world today, when a man desires sex, he's a pervert. Now, he can be, and there are sex boundaries. But men desiring sex, that's not ungodly in and of itself. And men being action-oriented and doing those things, and guys, we need to start standing up for ourselves and standing up for other men and challenging this culture that's telling us that men are apes, because some of what's happening is men are actually starting to believe the lie and act like it. And they're starting to decide to comply with the impression that other people have, because I don't know if you noticed about men, Men at some point, if they feel like it's not going to work and I'm just going to stay the bad guy, men a lot of times will decide, I'm just going to be the best bad guy I can then. Why fight it? And we desperately need men and ladies to back them. For men to start to stand firm in their faith, be strong, and act like men. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? Again, thank you. I needed a woman to say that. Your check's in the mail. Again, there is a delicate balance to this, and I hope that I'm not misunderstood. As the worship team begins to lead us, first I have a call for men. Are you acting like the man that God has designed you to be? No, the solution to this isn't to start hitting the gym and building up muscle mass or signing up for martial arts. The solution to this is to start throwing the influence around that you have and using it in godly Christ-like ways and impacting the society around us and start actually being present, making the difference that God has given you the ability to do. And some of us have been running from that because we're cowering at the pressure of the world, because we're timid about certain things. We don't want to step on any toes. And no, this altar call isn't for us to be completely unrestrained. But the answer is, guys, are you standing firm in your faith? Are you being strong? Are you acting like men? And this is the part where we need to choose to be okay being weak before others. Because when I am weak, then I am strong if I am found in Christ Jesus. So guys, if you're wrestling with this, don't be afraid. It's bravery to admit before others that you're struggling in weakness. And so if you need to repent, if you need God to help you to begin to be the kind of man that God is calling you to be, then I want you to stand right in front of me at this altar area. Come on. You don't all need to come if it's not a conviction of yours. But if you need to start being firm in your faith, standing strong and acting like men, then come. We don't need to be afraid of the culture. We don't need to be afraid that other people are seeing us as weak. This is strength right here. This is biblical masculinity for a man to come and absolutely surrender to Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask, and you can come if you're delayed and you feel led, you can come at any moment. Now this invitation is for ladies. If you have found yourself bitter towards men, and you might have reasons, you might have had awful men in your life, but if you find it, because bitterness is the root of all kinds of evil. And so if you have found yourself bitter towards men, and just in general, seeing them as the world has portrayed them, incompetent, fools, lazy, self-centered, and you are not capable of loving men the way that they should be loved and respected, and you need to repent, and you need to get those things right with the Lord, then I want to ask you to come and sit in one of these chairs in the front or kneel in one of these chairs in front and seek him. So come if that's you. Let's go ahead. Come. Thank you. Lastly, and actually I want to say this. Submission. Ask yourself the question, ladies, that when you refuse submission, is it because the man is abusive? Okay, because sometimes we point the picture to men who are abusive and we shouldn't submit to that, and that's correct. But am I really refusing to submit because the man's abusing? Am I really refusing to submit because the man's making a decision that is detrimental to the family? Or am I refusing to submit because I don't agree? Because true submission is when we submit to somebody else's will. That's our relationship with Christ. That we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. That we decide that if I don't want to do this, but Jesus wants me to do this, then I need to do this. And so if you're wrestling with those things, it's a relationship with God thing. It's not just a relationship with men thing. Then come and deal with that for the Lord. And lastly, as the worship team leads us for a moment, if you would like to just, in an act of faith, in a demonstration of faith, if you would like to show that you are behind the men who are deciding they're going to stand up and be what God has called them to be, then I ask you if you'd come and lay hands on the few that are here and stand with them in prayer and show that you're going to support them, that they can be and should be the men that God has called them to be. So as they lead us, come, pray for them. Or if you feel led for any of these other things that haven't come yet, come and seek the Lord. He wants to strengthen us. Before we conclude, I'd like to pray for and with you. And if we would, just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed. Sometimes it's difficult to take the act of publicly expressing a need for Christ. But if you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, you would like me to pray for you, ladies first. Perhaps it's because you have had an abuse in your past that has made it difficult to relate to men. That shouldn't be shortchanged, and that's not out of the equation. That is a difficult thing. But you want God to deliver you from the negative effects of that, where you're no longer enslaved to that, but you are free and empowered to be the woman that God has called you to be, and you're able to demonstrate a respectful honor to men, even though that guy tried to rob that from you. And so if that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, ladies, you need the Lord to help you with that. Good, I'm already seeing hands. Anybody else? Good. 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 Anybody else? Or guys, you're here this morning, and whether it's because you have been selfish in the way you've lived your life, and you need to start living others-focused, that's the most manly thing you can do. Or whether it's you've been intimidated and fearful before others, and you need the Lord to help you to be the strong man that you're called to be. If that's you, heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd like me to pray that for you. Would you lift your hand, men, if that's you? Okay, anybody else? So, Lord, we're asking that you would help us. We're in a difficult space, Lord, because all of culture is moving in a different direction in many ways than the principles of your word. And we're asking, Lord, that you would help us to stand strong, men and women, to stand strong in the face of the world's opposition, that you would help us to honor and respect marriage, to honor and respect sexual purity, to honor and respect authority, and to treat it the way it should be treated, whether we possess it or not, and that you would help men to honor and respect women, and that you would help women to honor and respect men, and that you would help us to find our way to a space of flourishing where each one of us, whether we're the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, the mouth, that you would help us to live as the body of Christ rather than just separate individuals. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. So My strong bodyguards are going to be over here. Again, it is Father's Day, and so two things. One, when you leave, we like meat, right, guys? So we have some jerky for you on the way out, in appreciation for you. Yeah. Yes. And also, as you're leaving, we're going to play just as our mantra, that Be a Man song from Milan will be playing in the background. That's not so that we can, jock you up like that, but let's be the men of God has called us to be. Amen? Love you. God bless you. See you next week.